The LinkedIn Podcast Network is sponsored by Alumni Ventures. Invest with confidence. Discover the power of venture investing with Alumni Ventures, America's largest venture firm for individual investors. Learn more at av.vc.
LinkedIn presents.
Imagine a world where the value we create online is shared with individuals instead of hoarded by platforms, where we get to decide what to do with our data, and where we get to participate in the value we help create. I believe that a new set of digital property rights would unleash massive economic innovation and growth, generating new ideas, new wealth, and new opportunities at a rate and scale we've never seen.
Hey there, I'm Michael Kovnat. This is the Next Big Idea Daily, and it's Thursday. So how are you liking the internet these days? We're so online that we might not even be able to think about how the internet really works and how it could be better. Frank H. McCourt Jr. and Michael J. Casey have written a new book called Our Biggest Fight, Reclaiming Liberty, Humanity, and Dignity in the Digital Age. And in it, they argue that our current crises of disinformation, mental illness, and hyperpartisan division all have their roots in the way the internet is currently designed, in which for-profit corporations and their algorithms determine the flow of information. Frank is the executive chairman of Project Liberty, a broad-based effort to build a better web for a better world. And he joins us now to share his big ideas.
The internet is broken. Despite the connectivity and conveniences today's internet provides, its current user experience is broken. The tech that underpins our daily lives is doing real damage. It's fueling a youth mental health crisis, incentivizing the spread of misinformation and inflammatory content, breaking down civil discourse, and undermining our democratic institutions. These destructive trends all connect back to a corrupted and disabled information system. From my perspective, as a fifth-generation builder, the problem starts with the web's basic architecture. For more than 130 years, my family has been developing infrastructure in America, starting with roads in the late 19th century and, eventually, the fiber optic systems that enabled the internet back in the 1990s when the World Wide Web launched. I'm not a computer scientist, but I do have a pretty good sense of how these things work. And what I've concluded is that we have an infrastructure problem, an engineering problem, a design deficiency, and the internet's flawed design is the root cause of incredible harm. The problems we're seeing today are not an accident. It's what happens when technology is co-opted and corrupted in ways that prioritize a few platforms rather than the people who use it. It doesn't have to be this way. If we change how the internet works, by shifting its power from platforms to people, returning control of data to individuals, giving us a voice in how platforms and applications are built, and enabling everyone to benefit economically from the data and content we're creating, then we have a whole new ballgame. This isn't a pipe dream. It's a natural next step. The first generation of the internet was enabled by a protocol called TCP/IP. The second generation, or the World Wide Web, was enabled by HTTP, which we use every day. So why not a new protocol, which is essentially a set of new operating rules? With Project Liberty, we've developed and released an open, decentralized social networking protocol called DSNP. This protocol was designed to return ownership and control of data to individuals, while at the same time giving developers the opportunity to build amazing new apps utilizing that data, but with our permission and on our terms. DSNP is available to anyone and stewarded by the nonprofit Project Liberty Foundation, and it's providing the building blocks for a new, healthier digital ecosystem. Apps on this new protocol will be interoperable. Our data and our social graphs will be portable, and the platforms of the future would have to accept our terms and conditions for using our data and not the other way around. If we can treat the internet's flaws as an engineering problem and fix them, then we can begin to solve some of the societal problems the internet is creating and making far worse. Most importantly, upgrading the internet will help leverage technology to benefit humanity. Data is personal. When you hear the word data, think personhood. We're now living in a digital age when everything we do is impacted by technology. We all search the internet. We all shop online. We all have smart devices in our pockets, our cars, and our homes. All of the tools and devices we use scrape our information, reams of information, and hand it over to a few giant platforms that decide what to do with it. And the things they're doing aren't optimized for society or humanity. They're optimized to keep us online, to show us more ads, and to generate more revenue. Yet too often, we think of that data scraping, if we think of it at all, as just part of daily life. Too many people now accept that we're the product, even though we can break free from this dynamic and access great tech that doesn't exploit, outrage, and addict us for profit. We need to merge in our minds the notion of the biological us and the digital us. Big tech is using their autocratic, centralized surveillance technology to suck the souls out of each of us. These platforms are dehumanizing us. The internet can do wonderful, marvelous, awesome things for humanity if it's redesigned. But we need to put human beings at the center and have the technology embrace and embed the values we care about as individuals and as a society. A decentralized web is good for prosperity. Already, the big five tech companies are worth trillions of dollars. That amount of wealth is unprecedented in human history. And in the next generation of the internet, that number is undoubtedly going to grow. So we now know the data is valuable. Now, imagine a world where the value we create online is shared with individuals instead of hoarded by platforms, where we get to decide what to do with our data, and where we get to participate in the value we help create. I believe that a new set of digital property rights would unleash massive economic innovation and growth, generating new ideas, new wealth, and new opportunities at a rate and scale we've never seen. This isn't a matter of stripping wealth from a few companies. It's a matter of fueling unbelievable growth and progress, not just socially but economically, and giving every person who uses the internet the ability to participate and benefit in new ways. Time is of the essence. Look at what's happening. The big five tech companies are all elbowing each other out of the way to be the dominant player in the next phase of this next big thing. This is especially clear now that we've entered the AI age. If they have their way, we'll all double down on the existing model of the internet, giving these centralized platforms more control, more data, and more power with generative AI. We'll be exploited and excluded even further. We need to make a different choice, and we need to make it soon. If you ask somebody right now, "Do you think your kids will have a better life than you?" Polls show that most people will say no. If you ask the kids, they definitely don't think their lives are going to be better than their parents' lives. We are dangerously off course. If we don't seize the moment, we're going to be dragged into a future that none of us wants. Sometimes it takes a crisis for people to focus on and fix a problem. I see crises as opportunities, and I think that's where we're at right now. I am hugely optimistic that if we seize this moment to redesign the internet, if we prioritize people, give individuals agency and control over their data, and return personhood to people, I believe our best days are before us. Getting there is indeed our biggest fight, and I hope you'll join me in it.
Okay, people, a call to arms for building a better online world, and hopefully a better one in real life as well. All right, come on back tomorrow, especially if you're of a certain age. We'll be hearing from Ben Cott, the author of The Way Home, Discovering the Hero's Journey to Wholeness at Midlife. Come on back then. Also, remember you can sign up for my newsletter using the link in the episode notes. It's a great free resource, a weekly roundup of the freshest ideas in nonfiction right in your inbox. You can also sign up by going to LinkedIn and searching for The Next Big Idea. I'm Michael Kovnat. See you tomorrow.